We're going to get a live update from our friend Aaron in Israel. Aaron, good morning. I know it's very early in the morning over there in Israel right now, but thank you for joining us.
Hey, Brennan, great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. There's going to be a little bit of a lag, folks, of audio and everything's got to go all the way to Israel and back. There's so much I want to talk about, but right now tonight on the Jerusalem Post, I'm reading a headline, UN official, social media largely controlled by Jewish lobby, NGOs. Wow. The United Nations there's no way the UN would be anti-Semitic, is it? No chance of that, is it, Aaron?
Well, there's nothing new under the sun, Brennan. And, you know, it's very sad that the United Nations are so swayed by the Arab nations and the oil and the money and the spirits of anti-Semitism that were sweeping through Europe in the Second World War and even before. They're still there. They haven't gone to sleep. And so we're not surprised at that kind of thing at all. And we're actually very thankful. Someone like Nikki Haley, when she was the United States ambassador to the United Nations, she did an incredible work on behalf of the United States for Israel and your current United Nations ambassador. So, yeah, nothing's new under the sun. We're used to this kind of thing.
Wow. So tell me what's going on in Israel. You guys are gearing up for another election, correct?
Yeah, we are in November the 11th. That's about 3 months away. The delegates are starting to lobby, starting to rally. It's a little bit too early at this stage to really call out who's ahead, although based on the last 3-4 elections and on the polls, it would seem that Benjamin Netanyahu, who is now the opposition leader, that he will outrightly win. However, just like the other elections, it's not enough his party wins. He has to be able to get other parties to form a coalition. And this has been the tricky part, the last elections. And no one has really put their cards on the table. No one clear to tilt the scales on behalf of Netanyahu at this stage, but it's early.
So tell me what your thoughts are in Israel there as we're seeing this alliance last week, a historic picture, not in a positive way, but a historic picture, the leader of Russia, the leader of Turkey, the leader of Iran, all pictured together. What are folks saying about this in Israel tonight or this morning?
Well, Brennan, this is the big news. This is the big news. And when I was on just over a week ago talking with you, it was just actually about a couple of weeks ago, it was just on the eve of your president arriving here in Israel. And what has been a result of that is quite interesting. Firstly, let me just recap, and then I'll get to your question about Iran, because it all ties up. Firstly, your president came, and he did his great political move. He met with our interim prime minister, Yair Lapid, who has just taken over from Naftali Bennett. And they both had a very warm, cordial time together. It needs to be stated that our current prime minister is very left-wing. He is very strong on behalf of Israel's security, but he is very left-wing and he is very pro a two-state solution with the Palestinians, which is what President Joe Biden came and once again, he declared he is pro two-state solution. So that wasn't anything new. But he met your president, met with the Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas, and he declared that. He said, not now. The time is not ready now. But he declared that. The key thing that President Biden spoke with our prime minister was our security here. Now, one has to be very, very careful when it comes to Joe Biden's talks on security. Why? Because if you remember, and if our viewers remember, Joe Biden was the vice president under the Obama administration, and it was the same period that he also declared that he was, and Obama were very, very for the security of Israel, but it was during the Obama administration that they made this deal with the Iranians to offer them a great deal, offering them a way out of getting under the microscope of the United Nations, the EU, regarding the their nuclear facilities. And pretty much that's exactly what has happened this visit. He said he will never allow Iran to go become nuclear capable weapons. But at the same time, he's saying, you know, he is for the security of Israel. So it's a double message there. It's very difficult. And it's kind of confusing for the Israeli public here, because at the same time, the Iranians, they have now said the chief man in the Iranian nuclear facility is saying, we now have the ability to go from 60% uranium enrichment to 90%. He said, we can do it. We can make bombs now with nuclear power. That's what he declared. So this is very alarming. And again, Biden, on one hand, he declared himself a Zionist. He went to the Holocaust Memorial Museum here in Jerusalem, the Yad Vashem. He did all the right moves. And yet, on the other hand, he has not at all done anything to stop the Iranians. Now, also very interestingly, our prime minister said that negotiations at this stage are a waste of time. Yair Lapid, listen to what he said. He said that diplomacy will not work and that there needs to be a credible military option put on the table.
Wow.
That, and then he said this. He said the military option that's put on the table, that even the big nations should not bluff. And obviously he was aiming at, with all respect, he was aiming at the United States, saying that the big nations should not bluff. And Biden agreed to this. Again, he's playing very well the political game. But what's interesting also is that Biden, once again, he is showing his strong arm toward Israel. And our defense minister has made it very clear that the number one key issue for the Israeli Defense Forces right now is to plan an attack on Iran. Okay, now I'm not being an alarmist. I don't like being an alarmist, but this is the number one option, or rather the number one principle, that Israel is at a stage where it's almost like no turning back. And now at the same time, Biden was here. He went and visited Saudi Arabia. I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. He went to talk about the oil, the high prices of oil, asking the prices to come down. So he's helping. He's asking the president of, or the prime minister of Saudi Arabia, to help with the output of the oil there. And so now, in the meantime, on our border, on our northeastern border, we have Syria. Now, Syria is a buffer between Israel and Iran. And everyone knows that inside Syria, we have Al-Qaeda. We have the Syrians, of course. We have Russians. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that the Russians have planted 500 of their top elite soldiers there. On top of that, if you or the American public haven't heard, that the Russians now are very, very upset with Israel. The main reason they're upset is as the EU, the United Nations, are cramping down on the sanctions against Russia, their latest move is that they are stopping providing, or rather, excuse me, they are stopping purchasing natural gas from the Russians. And so the people who are stopping purchasing gas from the Russians, they are now purchasing it from Israel. And President Putin is very upset with this. Our whole relationship with Russia has strategically changed for the worse. Not only has he put these 500 soldiers in, but inside of Russia, there is what's called the Jewish Agency. What is the Jewish Agency? The Jewish Agency is put there to deal with any Russian that wants to immigrate to Israel. The Hebrew word.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, Brad.
Yeah. I said, wow.
And what he's done, Brandon, is, and by the way, this Jewish Agency, who helps Jews make aliyah, that's the Hebrew word, aliyah, immigrate, President Putin has now closed the Jewish Agency down. And what basically is he saying? He is basically there's an estimation that there's about 135,000 Jews still in Russia. Basically, what he's saying is they're not leaving. They are, in a way, they are kidnapped inside of Russia by closing down the Jewish Agency who deals with this immigration. And then the last thing is that, yes, there is a coalition, this coalition of Russia, of Turkey, Erdogan, of Iran. They are meeting. They are there to discuss. And Putin, this is a big political statement. He's getting the focus off the war. He's trying to get the focus off the war between Russia and Ukraine. He's making a statement saying, you may isolate me internationally, but I have other internationals who are willing to sit down. It's a show of strong arm. There is the strong coalition growing. It's been there before, but by meeting, it's strengthening the coalition. And once again, it puts our focus for those of us who have our focus on God's word. This is putting the focus back on a potential Ezekiel chapter 38 coalition, nations coming from the north.
Wow. Well, it sounds like Putin is planning on using some of the Russian Jews as hostages. Is that what I'm hearing?
In a very subtle, indirect way, that's exactly what he's doing, Brandon. He's a very shrewd man, and he's done it. And by the way, our previous prime minister, Naftali Bennett, he was very calm when the war started approximately 6 months ago. He's been very careful, very calm, what he said against Russia. Our present prime minister, he doesn't care. He has come out very, very strong words against President Putin. The relationship with Russia is not good at the moment. Very strong, very strongly going negative. While people are looking at the world and they're saying the world is falling apart, if those of us who are looking at the situation through God's word, we can say that the world is falling into place, Brandon. It's falling into place. God's word must come to pass. And we're looking at the situation. In fact, this 2 weeks ago, I did a teaching from the book of Numbers, and Numbers chapter 26, and it talks, chapter 25, verse 11. It talks about a man called Pinchas. I think in English you'd call him Phinehas. It says, Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned my wrath away from the children of Israel because he was jealous or zealous with a zeal among them. So I did not consume the children of Israel. This is time that we need this righteous zeal. And he went out and he thrust people who were disobeying the Lord. And it's the diplomacy, the nice talk. We know it's not going to work with the Iranians. It's not going to work with the Russians. We need this righteous zeal. We need to stand up. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for President Biden, that he would rise up and he would see that it's like Neville Chamberlain in the Second World War when he said, peace in our time. We need someone with that spirit of Churchill who rises up and realizes the man that we're dealing with, the kind of people.
So let me ask you a couple of quick questions in conclusion. Number one, Benjamin Netanyahu made that famous speech at the United Nations about the red line. Apparently, that red line has been crossed by their own admission now, by that of Iran. It's been crossed. So if Benjamin Netanyahu comes back in as prime minister, do you think he is basically put himself in a situation where he's going to have to respond militarily based on that UN speech and the red line?
Well, I actually, what I'm sensing, what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing in our news here at home, that even before Netanyahu, if he does get reelected, and by the way, Putin has made these moves very timely with the situation politically here in Israel. He knows our vulnerable situation. He knows that we're going to elections again. But I believe even before, I'm not saying we're going to attack Iran before the elections, but if need be, I don't even think we're going to have to wait for Netanyahu. But if he is reelected, I think Netanyahu, that's his nature. He puts the security of the people of Israel first at hand. So I think it's a no-brainer. I think the time has come, and I agree with you, Brandon, referring to that red line that Netanyahu spoke about. I think by their admission, as you say, the red line has been crossed, and I think even Biden knows it. And let's see what happens, but we need to pray.
So basically, absolutely. But basically, what you and I are saying is, we're headed to war. We're headed for war. We're headed for conflict in the Middle East. All sides are pretty much acknowledging that. You got the military alliance with Turkey, Russia, Iran, Syria. Iran saying, we don't care what you guys think. We got enough to make weapons. They don't care. Putin has shut down the agency that allows Russian Jews to come and get registered to get over to Israel. I mean, everything is lining up. War in the Middle East is coming.
That's always our motto here, Brandon, in Israel. I've lived here over 30 years now. It's always been the motto. When there's peace, prepare for war. There's always a preparedness. And by the way, this last week, there have been missiles fired over from the Gaza Strip. Israel attacked the Gaza Strip and destroyed 16 tons of explosives from Iran that we found with under the ground, bunker buster bombs.
Bunkers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We destroyed 16 tons of Iranian explosives. So, look, like I said, I don't like to be an alarmist or a warmonger. However, the shofar, the trumpet is blowing, and it seems that our top military leaders are talking about some kind of attack. We need to pray. And we need our soldiers. We need to pray for our soldiers, our leaders, and we don't know what kind of war it's going to be. We don't know who's going to get involved. We don't know if Russia will get involved. We don't know if Syria will get involved. We don't know how that will affect the price of oil. All of these factors are at stake here. Yeah.
Can you, you know, so many things, I got to run off to my next guest, but there are so many things, as I keep saying, that are converging now on a global scale, globally. You know, now the World Health Organization is declaring an emergency with monkeypox. We have many medical doctors we keep interviewing, some of them for months now, including one lady that's from China, Dr. Yiming Yin, with the WHO in Hong Kong, left, came to America, warning that, again, the coronavirus came out of a Wuhan lab. She's warned on this broadcast that China is working on a hemorrhagic fever. So, we look at what the Bible talks about, plagues and pestilence and famine and wars and rumors of wars. It all just seems to be lining up at so many levels. But I know the Bible also says, I'll bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you, Genesis 6. And yet I'm very concerned where America is going, the rise of anti-Semitism as well. And then we now have New York City warning with PSAs about a nuclear attack and what to do. A friend of mine tonight sent me a text, more words of warning, a website by the security folks in the state there in New York, warning people about how to prepare for a nuclear attack. I don't know what they're laying a narrative for. I've been saying that now for a while since this PSA was run. I don't know if this is a covering their rear end situation. They're going to let it happen, know it's going to happen, or if they have some kind of threat. I don't know. But I will tell you, America is seen as the great Satan by the enemies of Israel. We're seen as the great Satan, first and foremost. And part of this was, of course, due to President Harry S. Truman, that was the first leader of the free world to recognize the existence of the nation state of Israel. America historically has been a great friend of Israel. I think you know this from all the sightseers that come there, tourists that come there. Would you agree that the enemies of America would be looking to take down and move America out of the way before they maybe go and strike Israel?
Absolutely. Putin hates the West. He is totally against the West. This is his philosophy for decades. I heard Henry Kissinger give a talk about Vladimir Putin. He is totally against the West. He does not like the alliance with the United States and Israel. Obviously, he waited until Trump got out of the way and Biden came into place before he did what he did with Ukraine, and before the Afghanistan situation with the Taliban, obviously, this alliance. But you know what, Brandon? I'm so glad you quoted Genesis 12. I will bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that curse
you. I said Genesis 6. Sorry, Genesis 12. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But you quoted the verse correctly, and that's the most important thing, because it, you know, the story of when a man called Balak wanted to curse Israel, he got the most popular man in the world at the time, equivalent to Nostradamus. And he said, go and curse Israel. And each time he planned, the Lord would not allow it. And we don't care. We cannot care about any plan, any plot, because the word that Balaam came back, he said, how can I curse what God has blessed? God's blessing is over Israel, even though we're far from perfect, even though also his righteousness is over Israel. He is the judge. He will deal with the sin that goes on in Israel. And there's a lot of sin, but there's that blessing over Israel. And the same with the United States. Those in the United States, and there are millions who bless Israel. There's a blessing there. And that verse that I quoted earlier from Numbers 25, 10, and 11 about Pinchas, who has turned away God's wrath because of his zeal. God promised and said to him, therefore I give to him an everlasting covenant of peace, of shalom, to him and his seed. It's a really powerful verse. And those who bless Israel will be blessed back with it, with this blessing of peace, shalom, in their lives. So even though the regime, even though governments around the world may be against, there are individuals, even in the United States, who continue to support, who continue to bless Israel, and the blessing will come back on you.
You know, Aaron, I have said many, many times, I don't deserve God's blessing. I think we all of us that are true believers understand that. How can you boast in that which is a gift, the Bible says? You know, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. So whatever gift or ability we have, we can't boast in it. You know, how can you boast in a gift, right? And people often will ask about whatever, quote, success, you know, that we've had. And I believe one of the keys to success is biblical principles. Work hard, be persistent, persevere, conserve, you know, put your hand to the plow over, and work for over a long time. It's taken many, 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 many years to build what we've been blessed to build. There are biblical principles in the Bible for how to achieve something over a long period of time. And yet, we can talk about all those biblical principles, and they're legit, and they work. But I often say to people, there's another reason I believe we have been blessed here at our organization and our network and the things we've been allowed to do. And I said this to my friend, the late Jimmy DeYoung, who passed away last year. I said, Jimmy, I believe you and I and a few of us have been blessed because we are seeing a fulfillment of Genesis 12 on our own life and that of our organizations. And you clearly agree with that, right?
Amen. Absolutely. No question. If you look at the history of the United States, if you look at their support of Israel, their support militarily, economically, politically, no question in my mind, Brennan, that the blessing has come back on the United States, on individuals, because really at the end of the day, it's lining up. You're basically lining up and saying, I'm in agreement with the God of Israel, with the people he's chosen. I'm in agreement. I believe in his Messiah. His Messiah is Jewish. Jesus was crucified as King of the Jews. And when he's coming back, that's what he's going to come back as, the King of the Jews, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so that's how can you be anti-Jewish if you're a Christian? And this is one of the hard things about Europe, Brennan. Historically, Europe, Catholic Europe, Christian Europe have been so anti-Semitic. It's unbelievable to understand. And yet they claim that they believe in the Jewish Messiah. It's like the Ku Klux Yep. Klan who have the burning crosses. How can they call themselves Christians and at the same time hate the Jewish people? So no question, God, that blessing to bless those who bless and to curse those who curse, I always warn people, be careful how you deal with the Jewish people. We're not perfect, but we're loved for the sake of the patriarchs.
Absolutely. Give your website before I let you go, Aaron.
Yes, everyone, lighttothenationsministry.com. Please be in touch. There's my email as well. If anyone is interested in supporting our ministry, we've got a number of projects going on here. We're also involved in Bible studies, in prayer for Israel meeting, if you'd like to be part of that, or if you'd like to come on a tour. I'm an Israeli tour guide. And if you've never been to Israel, if you want to come back, you're more than welcome. But it's been a pleasure Absolutely. Being with you once again, Brennan.
Thank you. I look forward to getting another report from you. Thank you, my friend. I know, what is it, 4:38 in the morning over there?
Exactly. Yes. I'm going back to sleep.
All right. Go. You deserve it. Thank you, Aaron.
Thanks, Brennan. God bless you. Shalom.
You too. Aaron checking in from Israel. We're always thankful for his report.